is Music Night. Hello there. From all of us here at the Hackney Empire in London, on stage with me are the BBC Concert Orchestra, their leader Nathaniel Anderson Frank, conductor Mike Dixon, and four fabulous singers, Hannah Waddingham, Gary Williams, Rodney L. Clark, and Michael Ball. All of us here to celebrate our kind of music as we remember one of our best loved DJs, David Jacobs. I'm delighted to welcome the original singer of that song and the star of Aspects of Love, Michael Ball.
Hello there. Before I sing, can I tell you a quick story about how David was involved in the most embarrassing thing that ever happened to me on a radio show? Well, I'm going to tell you anyway. So, a few years back, I was doing the same slot that I'm doing now on a Sunday morning, and David was doing his brilliant show at 11 o'clock in the evenings on a Sunday. And we got to the end of the show, and it was going fairly well, and the producer said, "We've got an extra minute and a half, stretch." They do that behind the... You can't see on radio, but they're going like that. Stretch. So I have a minute and a half to fill. So I thought, I'll just tell everyone what's on in the rest of the day. And I said, well, after me is Elaine Page and then Johnny Walker. And then I thought, no, what do I listen to? And every night on a Sunday, I would listen to David's show. I absolutely loved him. And I heard coming out of my mouth, and I don't know if you're like me, but there's nothing I like more than lying back in a hot bath and letting David Jacobs relax me off. Yep. That reaction was exactly what everyone behind the glass did. I couldn't then speak, and there was just about 30 seconds of me screaming hysterically before we went to the news. That night on David's show, as I was relaxing in the bath, I heard him say at the end, "And I hope, Michael, that's relaxed you off nicely." He was always so supportive towards me, and he was one of the first people to play this song on his radio show. So I owe him a lot. I adored the man. This is for David.
Well, now, ladies and gentlemen, it's the interval. So we'll see you back in 15 minutes.
And as the orchestra and guests take their break, this is Alan Boyd, and I had the great pleasure of producing the David Jacobs Collection on Radio 2 for 12 years.
88 to 91 FM, David Jacobs, BBC Radio 2.
Hello there. Let's be together from now until midnight to share that which many call our kind of music, all of which comes from within the David Jacobs Collection.
He was an amazing man and a great character, so we thought we'd take this opportunity to ask a few of our Radio 2 friends and colleagues about their memories of David Jacobs.
Hi, this is Jeremy Vine from Radio 2. I obviously watched David Jacobs on the TV when I was a boy. And I remember once just at Radio 2, the lift doors opened and he walked out. And I thought, oh my goodness, it is the Jacobs himself. And he was always so charming and so friendly. See, always kind of old-fashioned, actually. Just say, good afternoon.
Hello there, I'm Claire Teal. When I hear the name David Jacobs, I think of
a fantastically charismatic man, beautifully turned out, erudite and witty and urbane, and just somebody you would desperately want to be friends with. You know, there's nobody like David. He was completely unique.
Hello, I'm Ken Bruce from BBC Radio 2. I think of a cravat. I don't think he wore them that often. He may never actually have worn a cravat at all. But somehow, it seems right for David Jacobs. There's a strange mixture of gentlemanliness and slight raffishness, which I think is David Jacobs to me.
Hi, I'm Elaine Page. My memories of David Jacobs, I remember how always impeccably dressed he was. So polite. Such an absolutely charming man. He was always that way with me.
I'm Lewis Carney, head of programmes at Radio 2. The thing about David is that he was the consummate professional broadcaster. He was absolutely brilliant. He treated everyone with utmost respect in the building. People loved working with them, and he had such a long history with us. He'd worked with a great many producers, and they all had the same view of him, that he was an absolute gentleman, a joy to be around, and a professional at what he did.
One of the great things that David Jacobs taught me about being a producer was the most important thing of all is the audience. What we think is important, he and I would sit together and build programmes together, but at the end of the day, we had to be assured that what we were putting together was something that the audience would like. The audience was the most important thing of all.
I've always made an absolute point of trying to understand who the people are that I'm broadcasting to. So that is the main purpose of one's attitude to broadcasting. And I think that broadcasting is an art. And I think that when people really want to get in and study an art, they have to work at it very hard and be dedicated to it.
I think what I got from being around David and watching David was a sense of the unimportance of yourself, if you see what I mean. The broadcaster is merely there to facilitate and not to impress with their own personality too much. Obviously, you know, you've got to be yourself. But basically what David taught me was it's not all about you.
I think the thing you learn from the really great broadcasters like David Jacobs is that they are successful because the person they are on the air is the same person that they are off the air. He also taught me that, as he said, when you're my age, Jeremy, you need to wear braces. Belts don't work anymore. The music I associate with David is the music that I associate with the old Radio 2. And there was much about Radio 2 20 years ago that was phenomenally good. But chiefly, it would have to be the one I feel my memory says he played every day, which is Skyrockets in Flight, Afternoon Delight. Afternoon Delight. Afternoon Delight. Bless you, David. Afternoon Delight.
Started out this morning feeling so. There are several funny stories I have about David, but really the thing I remember most about him was he loved to go for lunch on days he came in to record, and he loved to tell jokes and stories, which were absolutely hysterical. He had an amazing sense of humour and a great memory for things that happened a long time ago. And of course, from his heyday in television broadcast, he knew everyone in show business because he'd been around for such a long time and worked with so many people. So he had hilarious tales about absolutely everybody, none of which are probably as suitable to be broadcast in this interval piece.
David was a strange mixture of courtliness, gentlemanliness, and also slight rudeness. I don't mean rude as an unpleasantness, I just mean he had a taste for, shall we say, slightly off-colour jokes and things like that, just only slightly, nothing desperately bad, but it was just the strange mixture of hearing David in these beautifully enunciated tones telling quite a salty joke. And it made it all the funnier, of course. When David tells a joke, it's delivered in these beautiful tones, and then suddenly there's a slightly, well, surprising end to it. And he could time a joke better than anybody I've ever met. I remember David coming up to me quite early on in our friendship, and he just came up, apropos of nothing at all, and said, Cairn, do you know, can crabs walk forwards? And I said, no, no, crabs walk sideways, David. And he said, oh, my God, I've got lobsters. But I'll always remember David at lunch, just sitting at lunch, laughing, laughing, laughing. He loved good company. He loved to hear jokes well told by people round the table. And he loved telling jokes himself and stories and memories of what he'd done in his career. But the laughter, great, great laughter all the time. And seeing him doubled up with laughter and wiping tears from his eyes, it's just one of my great memories.
Well, when I joined the BBC, I'd spent 2.5 years out on a very friendly radio station in Ceylon called Radio Siak. And we'd been a pretty funny lot of blokes working out there. And when I joined the BBC, it was all rather serious, except certain of the newsreaders couldn't take me too seriously because I was the youngest that they'd ever had. I joined on the night of my 21st birthday, which is not young today, but in those days it was young. And Jack DiManio was always playing tricks on me. And one night I was reading the Home News from Britain, and he came into the studio and he put a fire guard helmet on my head, because they were still lying around in the hall. And this peculiar-looking thing, like a squashed-in chamber pot, he put it on my head, and I continued reading the news. And then, unfortunately, he went one further, and he got hold of this sort of thing, this water jug, and poured it all over this fire guard's helmet, trickle, trickle. You know, and I just shrieked with laughter. I couldn't stop. So I was eventually asked to leave, because I laughed too many times.
When I met him, it was just about the time I joined Radio 2 and quite a lot was happening in my life. I just got married and I'd just become a father as well. And because David used to come and record his programme just after mine in the same studio, we'd meet each other absolutely regular as clockwork, 2:05 on that particular day. And he bless him, he remembered my daughter's name, Martha. And he would always say, Jeremy, how is Martha? And be really interested in the answer. And I remember saying, we think we've had the first smile. And he said, well, how old is she now? And I said, 3 months, David. And she smiled when she was getting some milk. And he said, that wasn't a smile, Jeremy. That was wind.
I will always hear in my mind David saying, Vic Damone, and introducing On the Street Where You Live. I'm not sure whether he played it every day or every week. It seemed to be played a lot, but it's that song, whenever I hear that, there's David.
Oh, the towering feeling, just to know somehow you are near. I have often walked on this street before, but the pavement always stayed beneath my feet before. All at once am I several stories high, knowing I'm on the street where you live.
Hello, this is Annika Rice. Oh, dear, kind David. Just after I started work at Radio 2 on the Weekend Breakfast Show, there was a Christmas get-together of all the presenters, and I ended up chatting to David for ages. He was his usual charming, funny, urbane self, trying to offer me his seat. And then there was an announcement for all the presenters to get into a group for the annual Radio 2 photo. Well, David took my arm, and we shuffled together into the fray. Now, there's always a bit of a pecking order for these things, and naturally David, as the most senior presenter, needed to be in the middle of the photo. So I escorted him to his position and then very awkwardly ended up being stuck right in the middle with him as he wouldn't let go of my arm. This was really awkward because I was the new girl and I should have just been skulking at the back, chewing gum and behaving badly. Anyway, there we are in the photo, right in the centre. Chris Evans, Jeremy Vine, Elaine Page, all shoved to one side. Slightly awkward.
People stop and stare, they don't bother me, for there's nowhere else on earth that I would rather be. Let the time go by, I won't care if I can't be here on the
listening to David on the radio, the way he reached out to people in his broadcasts, it made you feel that you were part of this fantastic social group, that you were sitting at his dinner table, having fantastically sophisticated conversation with his phenomenally famous friends.
David was never a name dropper, but he would just... Somebody would come up in the conversation, if it was a track by Mel Tormey, he'd say, oh yeah, I remember once when I met Mel Tormey and blah, blah, blah. He could tell stories and anecdotes about most of these great, great artists because he had been around for such a long time. And even his early days in Radio Luxembourg before he joined the BBC, those people would come across from America and be interviewed because Radio Luxembourg was such a, you know, such a big thing in those days. So he actually knew those people. You know, he'd met Peggy Lee on a few occasions. He knew Ella Fitzgerald. And for me, it was wonderful because here was a man who was a link to those great artists. And I loved him for that. I could never tire of his stories and tales.
I didn't know David terribly well. The few occasions I got to meet him, I do remember when it was his 85th birthday party and we were celebrating this monumentous occasion. And honestly, the guest list was like a stellar who's who. They're all, you know, some of the greatest songwriters in the world, some of the greatest presenters that have ever been, and some just absolute superstars. But the thing that I remember, he stood up and made a speech, and it was the most brilliant thing I've ever heard. And he had everybody in stitches. It was so perfectly delivered, so beautifully thought out, so balanced, with these fantastically sparkling anecdotes. And, you know, everybody was just on their feet and just clapping wildly at just what a fantastic man he was.
Unforgettable, that's what you are.
In a moment, we rejoin Emma Jacobs, David's daughter, and the BBC Concert Orchestra for the second half of Friday Night is Music Night. But I thought I'd leave you with a personal one for me that he loved, but I would say this was my tribute, if I had to David Jacobs, would be Nat King Cole singing Unforgettable.
How the thought of you does things to me, never before has someone been more unforgettable in every way. And forevermore, that's how you'll stay. That's why, darling, it's incredible that someone so unforgettable thinks that I am unforgettable too.
To the second half of tonight's Friday Night is Music Night with me, Emma Jacobs. One of the all-time greatest musicals was written by Alan J. Lerner and Frederick Lowe.